You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the S E A. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the S E A.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Fabulous Pelton Cast, sponsored by our friends at Pagliacci Pizza. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino. And I think, really quick, sorry to cut you off, before we get into anything, I do want to acknowledge how silly it feels to talk about football in light of the recent events in Minneapolis, the two murders that have happened there, and the countless people throughout the country who have been detained and sent to detention centers, not just the people in Minneapolis, but the country as a whole. How silly it feels overall to talk about football. But I do think there's a value in getting together as communities, as we did at Lumen Field today. You know, like, people from all different parts of Seattle and the country got together there. And I also think football is a little bit less of the, like, rah-rah patriotism sport than maybe it once was. And I do think the decisions for, like, the halftime show and the other performer at this upcoming Super Bowl are, considering the types of artists that could be playing it, a little bit defiant for the NFL. I mean, the president is protesting the Super Bowl, right? And has said that he's not attending the Super Bowl. So I have to, in the smallest amount that anybody could be commended, note that. And then secondly, Sean McVay, retire, bitch!
You know, the Pelton cast contains multitudes, and I think that particular sequence sort of illustrated those multitudes. I mean, it certainly is hard to feel, you know, the full joy that we should about the Seattle Seahawks going to the Super Bowl by beating the rival Los Angeles Rams in the NFC Championship game because of the terrifying scenes that continue to be on display from Minneapolis. And, you know, the fact that this is happening, you know, to Americans in an American city, it's shocking and horrendous. But that is not our podcast today. We are talking about the Seahawks and the Rams, and you were there. We have not talked about this game whatsoever. What was it like?
It was great. What do you think it was like? I mean, there's not a Rams fan in the house. You know, the atmosphere, the vibes were good from the very, very start. This really felt like one of those moments where I was like, we're kind of back. I said that last week against the Niners, but this was fully all the way back. And it's a beautiful thing to look around and just being like, everybody here, what's the number? 67,000, something like that. Every person here is on the same page. There were the same amount of Rams fans in the building as there were Rams fans celebrating their Super Bowl win a couple of years ago, asterisk and all. And it was funny, like, I mean, the Seahawks led for, I guess I'll say, most of this game, right?
Oh, it was about 52 minutes, I believe. I did not put that in my notes, but I looked at it.
It was funny, the moments when you could feel people being loose and then tight.
I mean, certainly on the Discord, you know, the emotional listener, Sean Kramer, was not the only one of us being emotional. The most emotional, but not the only one.
And I think the two most important plays, as far as people being like, we might be going to the Super Bowl, were two of the best touchdowns of the game, right? It is the first pass, the touchdown at the very end of the first half to Jaxon Smith-Njigba after the Rams kind of got him on one, where you're like, they scored that touchdown to Kyren Williams and you're like, well, yep, okay. You know, like, it was one of those moments where you're just like, yep, they got us. They had a couple of those. In fact, maybe they had a lot of those in this game. Sometimes they just beat the Seahawks, right? But there's some moments where you're like, got us on that one. There was a Kyren Williams second and 10
specifically, it was like
run.
They dialed something up here.
Yeah, there was a Kyren Williams like second and 10 run where I was like, oh, got us on that one. We did not see that coming. And from my vantage point, I'm like watching the play that Kyren Williams scores the receiving touchdown on. And I see him leaky out of the backfield. And I'm like, somebody surely is there. Nope. And it's just like, that's a touchdown. But then to have schemed JSN so wide open, or to have at least had JSN so wide open there and get that touchdown before the half, absolutely massive. And then after the muffed punt that the Rams had in the third quarter, basically the sandwich drives, right, in that middle third of the game, the touchdown to Bobo was really like the fans, it got so loose in the building as it was a 2-score game. And I'm not saying it didn't get tight again later,
but those
were the moments where it was like people let themselves breathe for a second. And I think you kind of have to come back to the muffed punt and ask yourself, how many special teams coordinators do the Rams need to fire?
Because I didn't make that joke on social media because I was concerned that too many people were going to make that joke on social media, but I didn't actually see anyone do it. So I'm glad that we have gotten it in here.
The Seahawks, like, ultimately, this is what a complete football team looks like. The Rams are what an incomplete football team looks like. And the Seahawks did it in all three facets of the game. They had a chance to get another one.
No, they did it in two of the three facets of the game.
They did it two of the three. How about this? For the season, they've done it in all three facets of the game. How dare you also, as we say that, because the most important play of this game did not happen on offense still.
I mean, yes and no. If I told you that the Seahawks were going to score 31 points, What chances would you have given the Rams of being driving for the go-ahead touchdown late in the fourth quarter?
I thought you were going to say winning, and I was going to say they didn't win, so I would have been right, but...
No.
I understand what you're saying.
Right. So I don't think that this was the defense's best day, although you're right, yes. The Devin Witherspoon making back-to-back plays to stop that drive ultimately did allow the Seahawks to win the game.
And I love that it was him, right? He's my favorite defender, right? He's my favorite defender since Richard Sherman. And Nicky Manwari, he climbed up the list and played a good game today. I felt like
an awesome game. I don't know if I wanted to use this stat because it is quite triggering, but let me pull this up here from Jack Andrade on Twitter, or Android, I don't know. Nicky Manwari, the first rookie with 3 passes defense in a conference championship game or Super Bowl since Malcolm Butler in Super Bowl 49.
That's fine. No, we're healing. The ghosts are gone, right? We're healing all wounds this year.
I don't think the ghosts are gone yet, but the ghosts in 2 weeks may be exercised.
Same for Sam Darnold also. The ghosts are gone. But this is what a complete football team looks like. And the Rams, ultimately, like, their special teams could have lost even more, right? Because they muffed 2 punts in this game. And the fact that that happens, like, you could look at, I'm sure that the win probability is a massive swing after that play. And this is 2 consecutive times that the Rams offense has done its job here in Seattle, and the Rams special teams, and in this case, defense, let them down. I mean, it was also the last case, but those 2 facets of the game let the Rams down. And that is why the Seahawks, in both of those instances, it's why the Seahawks were the number 1 seed, and it's why the Seahawks are going to the Super Bowl.
It's funny because in many ways, this game was the reverse of the regular season meetings, and specifically the first meeting that the Seahawks lost in LA, where, as we've talked about ad nauseum, like, the Seahawks outgained the Rams, you know, ultimately in that game, and the difference was turnovers. In this game, the Rams averaged 8.3 yards per play.
A shocking number to see. I will say, success rate I'd be fascinated by, because
RBSDM.com is down.
It's broken.
It's been overloaded.
Matt Stafford broke it. He still threw, like, not an incredible amount of incompletions in this one, but also 13 incompletions, more than Sam Darnold threw.
Yeah, you can throw a lot of incompletions when your average completion goes for about 15 yards a pop, or more than that, I guess. So,
I mean, that was the thing that I said on the weekly podcast, where I was like, I don't buy that that's going to happen again. That they are going to have hit the deep plays again. Because no other team has done it. And they did. They did that again. Like, the deep plays were there for the Rams. They're the only team across the league that has been able to do it. I dare Josh McDaniels to try to figure out how that happened, because I don't think he's going to come up with much. But there's a reality that the Rams are able to get big plays against the Seahawks in this 2025-2026 season.
I mean, I guess what I'd say is, if you could go to the tape of the Rams doing it against the Seahawks defense and then execute it, we wouldn't have seen the 3 games against the Seattle Seahawks defense that we saw played between the 2 Rams games. Because no one else got the formula. Whatever Sean McVay found.
I mean, really, the formula that Seahawks need is whatever the Panthers have. But, like, look, we can't all be the Panthers defense or the Bears defense.
If it had been 20 degrees today, I feel like it might have been that much more difficult for the Rams.
Maybe that scuba gear was holding him back. But I mean, the way that the Rams moved the ball, particularly in the second half, I was quite surprised. At the same time, The Seahawks were one taunting penalty from maybe just closing the door on this game in a lot
possibly.
Of ways. And that's where it's like, that's what I was saying about Spoon. Like, I love that it was Spoon, right? I want him to be the face of the defense. I want him to make face of the defense type plays. And that's what he did, right? I mean, when the Seahawks went to the last time the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, it was Richard Sherman, obviously, who made the play. This time it's Devin Witherspoon. You can draw the parallels, obviously. And to make not one, but two consecutive plays to ultimately win the Seahawks this game. We didn't know it at the time necessarily. And then on the flip side, Jaxon Smith-Njigba with a big catch and a monster game for him that he had, where we were talking about how his usage was down a little bit. That's gone. That is out the window. Right? We have gunslinger Darnold back, and we have offensive player of the year Jaxon Smith-Njigba back in this game, who goes for 10 for 153 and has pretty much a ceiling catch in it, like a game-winning catch for this. That draft that John Schneider fucking nailed, right, has the Seahawks in the Super Bowl today.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and what I was reflecting on sort of during that game is like, you know, there are some situations where it comes as a surprise. You know, Sam Darnold having the game that he did, the season that he has, like, that comes as a surprise to us. But JSN, like,
I'll say to some.
I mean, I guess you're saying all takes Tristan, the October.
No, I was excited about Sam Darnold too.
Were you expecting him to have a better out-duel Stafford with Stafford throwing for 374 yards?
Well, if you knew what I was expecting from Stafford, then the answer would be yes.
Anyways, let's see. What was the date of the first round of the NFL?
This is like Stafford's Ichiro season, right? This is season, you know?
April 27th, 2023. Scholars will look back on is the day... Like, there are a lot of days, the Russell Wilson trade, certainly among them, the day they hired Mike McDonald, but drafting Spoon and JSN in the same round. And, like, Spoon is that guy who we didn't really know that much about him. And we've just kind of enjoyed learning about him as he has been with the Seahawks. But JSN is one of those guys. We invested so much mental energy and so much hope in the Seattle Seahawks being able to draft him. And then he's out there.
The league fucked up on this one.
you think? The Seahawks got the offensive player of the year at pick 20? Yeah, I think they fucked up.
Yeah. JSN did it. He did it on a big stage in college and was sitting there.
There's a lot of good players in this draft, certainly. There's also Anthony Richardson. But, you know, JSN...
Well, I mean, the Texans are the flip side of that also, where it's like, the Texans, granted, CJ Stroud is not exactly winning them the playoff game right now, but like, it was a lot of Texans and Seahawks, two of the last eight teams left.
But if you were to draft this today, I mean, maybe you still take Stroud number one just because quarterbacks, and obviously Will Anderson Jr. has been quite good for them. Jason's probably the number one pick in the draft, right? Like, he's the best non-quarterback player in football now, right?
Yeah.
Is that... That's not a preposterous thing. He's going to sign...
He's the offensive player of the year. I mean, like that's not a... It's not that it's not a preposterous take. It's that it's literally happening.
Well, you could argue that a defensive player is more valuable than him, but I don't know who that player
would be. No defensive player could be more valuable than him.
I agree with that position. And I think that was my bold prediction, that he will eventually sign the largest non-quarterback contract in NFL history. So all of that points to, and this guy went 20th. And again, we loved him in the draft. Like, you get your hopes so much up for the draft, particularly in the NFL, because that process is so long. And then to see not only them get him, but him be everything we thought he would be, and that much more. Because we didn't think he was going to, you know, we thought he'd be the latest in the line of the Doug Baldwin Jr., Tyler Lockett, like hyper-efficient Seahawks receiver, who's probably underrated nationally. Not, he's going to have 10 catches for 153 yards and a touchdown in the NFC Championship game. It was the second most receiving yards ever in a playoff game for the Seahawks, behind only DK Metcalf at Philly his rookie season.
Wow. I mean, it was a monster performance by JSN when he had to show up. Obviously, that touchdown and the one-handed grab that he had earlier in the game, and really, like, the game-winning catch. You know, yes. Like, having the wherewithal, I didn't see the replay, but, like, at least trying to get down and bounce on that one. He was everywhere in this game, but I think there's some other players in it, too. You know, like, that first series, the Seahawks get to third down, and it's Rashid Shaheed, 51 yards, boom, down the field.
Huge.
And you're watching it, and you're just like, I boldly predicted to you. I said that the Seahawks were going to win 42-10 yesterday, and I was like, called it. After when Shahid catches that ball, I'm like, yep. They get like a quick stop, and then
again,
he catches
the offense
like,
was lived up to their end of your prediction.
I think I was not. The defense played worse than I was expecting them to. I think the defense played worse than almost anybody was expecting them to, right? Like, they played their worst two games of the year against the Rams, and it's not even close.
Technically, by EPA, it's only two of the top three because Tampa Bay.
The Tampa Bay game.
And then it depends sort of whether you want to opponent adjust. Like,
but I mean, we talked about how Devontae Adams was basically still injured. And maybe that's the difference. Maybe that extra week of healing for Devontae Adams was it. Ooh. But, like, he looked healthy today.
I agree. He looked very healthy.
And about how Puka had kind of, like, limped toward the finish line. Not today.
Nope.
So there were definitely some moments that, like, they're good against the Seahawks defense, and they didn't do, like, I remember you complaining about Husky coach Jed Fish about a month ago about scheme guys open, but you were like, they're sloppy as a team. And that's why the Rams lost this game.
It was kind of notable at some point in the late stages that the Seahawks were like running up against the play clock on offense as repeatedly as they were. And because it's only when you saw that actually happen that you remember like, oh, that never happens. Like, they're just always on it offensively. And I got to say, again, lots of takeaways from today's game. One of them is a thank you to all the NFL teams who have already hired head coaches who are not Clint Kubiak. Some of whom are very good choices.
I would
Don't
not
get me
be
wrong.
Holding my breath on Clint Kubiak's stick. Like,
you think Raiders?
It's Raiders for sure. It was going to happen before this, but like, Clint Kubiak got himself a job today.
He earned it. Like, start to finish, this was a brilliantly called game. And, you know, obviously the players have to go out and actually execute it. And, you know, there's some randomness involved there. But they came out throwing the ball aggressively, as you mentioned, with the deep shot to Shahid. They continued throwing with play action on second down on that final drive.
I was shocked at some of those play calls.
If you go back to the start of the year, like, the biggest issue the team had at that point, back before the biggest issue became their slow starts, which, oh, not a problem in the playoffs, weird, is that, like, they had a struggle closing out games because of the fact that they weren't running the ball effectively. And they didn't really run the ball that effectively today. Ken Walker III had an awesome first drive and was amazing out of the backfield, but they were probably not going to run their way to first downs there, and Kubiak was appropriately aggressive.
He had an awesome
and trusted Sam
drive.
Darnold.
On the drive that they scored the field goal on. That was where he had like first down screen pass. And I will say you're undervaluing, yes, running the ball, but Ken Walker's four catches for 49 yards.
I said that.
Okay.
Coming out of the backfield. Yeah.
Yes.
It's no criticism of also running backs don't matter. Although might have tiny, and George Halani, some nice catches out of the backfield. Might have missed him a tiny bit. Zach Charbonnet a tiny bit in short yardage. But yeah, I mean, the Rams just did a really nice job.
Had the ball that he dropped where it was like, it was a punt, right? It was one of the worst drops of the game. But like, I think this is what you show when you see a team and a coach that is, we talk about this now where it's like, we don't know what kind of head coach Clint Kubiak is going to be, but I think we do know what kind of head coach Mike McDonald is going to be. And we've seen it because in his second year, it's not just that the defense is playing well. That's part of it, right? But it's that the entire team is playing well. And that's the difference between being a very good position coach and being a head coach. And it's something that it's hard to know before somebody is in that position. Ben Johnson seems the same, right? And we were excited about Mike McDonald when they hired him, but I don't think we expected this to be as good. And it's nice that Sean McVay is a good offensive coach. Maybe he'd be better as an offensive coordinator, if we're being honest. You know, find somebody who can like coach an entire team, because that's not their skill with the Rams. And there's a reality.
The Rams have historically often been very good defensively. The special teams, I don't know if it's ever been a particular strength for them.
There's a reality that it kind of came down to this. Like, the game came down to a huge turnover, which was funny that people were like, oh, the turnover is Seattle. Sam Darnold's going to do that forever. Maybe one play where I was like, ooh, maybe you shouldn't have thrown that one, Sam.
Yeah, the one kind of in traffic.
Yes, he threw it in between three defenders, and I was like, that's how you throw picks, Sam. Yeah. I was like, well, the oblique, if his oblique was healthy, you would have made the throw. It didn't affect him on the other 25 passes, but that
here's the thing. It was like last week where there was the one pass where it was like, what happened there? Here's the thing. The Seahawks in the regular season did not have any consecutive games all season long where they did not have turnovers. Now, since the Rams game, they have not turned it over three consecutive games, both playoff games, and then the game at San Francisco. I guess it's since the Carolina game, I should say. They've gone three consecutive games without turnovers. They only had, up until that point, three of their first 16 games of the season. They did not have turnovers. So this, whether it's luck, whether it's regression to the mean in terms of they were turning the ball over more frequently than they probably should have, whether it's better decision-making, a combination of all three of those most likely, like at the right time, they are doing what they need to do offensively.
You're going to have to find a new narrative on Sam Darnold, folks. It is different. Switch the game up because Sam Darnold is a different quarterback now, and that's the Sam Darnold we saw earlier. Also, we have to look at this and say, the Rams, like all those yards that they gained, right? They're still one for eight on third down.
That's the other area where this game was won. When you look at how did the Seahawks get out in game by 2 yards per play, which is, you know, you probably, it's probably like 1.5, 1.6 if you take out their final three offensive plays where the Rams were able to just pack the line of scrimmage and then the Rams getting some kind of garbage yards on their last two plays of the game. But how do you lose with that massive a yards per play advantage? It's the turnover battle, number one, but it's also, as you said, 1 of 8 on third down for the Rams. They only picked up one of those in a fourth. Seahawks went 7 of 13 on third downs, and Sam was cooking on a lot of those. And that's also where, in addition to JSN, Cooper Kupp really showed up against his former team on third down, including the touchdown. So,
yeah. No, it was a great game across the board. And I think the other piece that I had was basically, I talked about how the Seahawks just have different avenues to win this game.
Yep.
Right? The Seahawks could have won an offensive game. They definitely could have won a defensive game.
They did win an offensive game.
Yeah, they won an offensive game. They could have won a defensive game. They won a game because their special teams was better. They also won a game despite the fact, which we haven't talked about, the unsportsmanlike conduct that was called, or the taunting penalty that was called on Henri Coulon. Right, that leads to, and this is another play that if you want to look at basically like the yards to yards per play, that leads to a 35-yard touchdown on the very, very next play against Reek.
I mean, look, there were missed calls on, that was not a missed call. That was an accurate call. That was a, you know, a mistake by Reek Woolen.
An accurate call is a little bit of like, I guess I don't know what that means necessarily, but.
Like realistically.
Taunting is still a subjective penalty, is it not?
He dared them to call the penalty. He asked for the penalty is what happened.
Sure. I'm not necessarily saying it was a bad call. It was a bad decision by Reek Woolen. And ultimately, the person who should be the happiest with the outcome of this game is Reek Woolen.
Undoubtedly.
Overall. And I do actually think, that, you know, we'll see how the Super Bowl goes. I do think it a little bit changes the radius of Reek Woolen's future in Seattle. But who cares, right? They're in the process of going to go win a Super Bowl right now. But it took still for them, like I said, that avenue of getting that taunting into the touchdown, which it's a massive swing in the game.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have the specific win probability, but it was considerable.
So if the Seahawks are off the field there with an 11-point lead, we're talking about, like, and the way that their offense had been moving, you know, they have, they're sandwiched between two touchdowns. Obviously, one of them was only one play, but, like, they've been moving the ball fairly well. You mentioned they're averaging, what, 6.8 yards per carry or per play. The chances of them scoring on that are probably fairly high. And even if it's a 14-point game, like all of a sudden the Rams are just working to catch up, working to catch up, working to catch up. And so that play, and then going right at Reek Woolen on the very play after it.
I mean, the other piece of this, you've talked about the special teams in terms of the muffed punt, but the to me, the other factor is, and the muffed punt was part of this, the Seahawks' average drive start was 10 yards further from their own end zone than the Rams. And it's also because they started four drives on their own 35, thanks to touchbacks, because the Rams, after Rashid Shaheed's punt return for
they're
a touchdown,
scared.
After Rashid's kickoff return for a touchdown last week, had no interest in kicking the ball to Rashid Shaheed. Just
I mean, I guess that's what you talk about in the NBA. You talk about gravity, right? And that's kind of what Rashid Shaheed only had the one big play in this game, which granted it was a huge big play, but Rashid Shaheed did more to affect the outcome of this game, when you factor in, you said it was 10 yards further for their end zone.
Yep.
Every single possession. So, like, when you look at that, right?
I mean, again, most of that is getting the ball at the Rams 19 after the muff punt, but it was about 4 yards. If you look at the average kickoff, they started 4 yards further than the Rams.
Okay. But I mean, there's still a number of kickoffs in this game, right?
Right.
When you add that up, that's another chunk of yards that are basically just owed to Rashid Shaheed.
Yep.
Because they were scared of him. And they were right to be scared of him. You know, like when the Seahawks deferred, I was a little bit like, first off, the Rams are not going to kick to Rashid Shaheed. Second off, like, it would have been kind of nice having him on the field for that play. And you could just feel the fear that they had of him after what he had done to both them and to the Niners last week.
Yeah. I mean, and after the way the Rams special teams have struggled all year. So it's going to be interesting to see how New England will handle that in the Super Bowl. Obviously, we've got some time to worry about this. I also wanted to note this stat. The Rams had 3 drives in this game of 80-plus yards, including their final drive, real drive, that resulted in the 4th down stop. The Seahawks allowed 7 80-yard drives during the entire regular season, 3 of them by the Rams. So other teams against the Seahawks in the 16 games that they played against them have 4 total 80-yard drives. The Rams against them had 6. It's really a testament to how different these Rams-Seahawks games are than all the rest of the season for the Seahawks defense.
Yeah, and I guess we'll find out next week, but that's a little bit of why this one felt like the Super Bowl, too, for the Seahawks.
Not next week.
Well, the next game, granted. But that is why this one kind of felt like that.
Because you didn't watch the AFC Championship game because you were in transit to the watching the Seahawks. Obviously, the weather was a factor. The Patriots and Broncos it looked like an entirely different sport than Seahawks.
I mean, I definitely pulled up that 3.2 yards per play that the Patriots had, and then beating Jarrett Stidham by 3 points in this one. And guess what, Drake May? Jarrett Stidham is not walking through that door. It is. I looked up Sam Darnold's middle name last podcast. I forgot it again. Sam Richard. It is Samuel Richard Darnold walking through that door, who becomes, I believe, the first USC quarterback to ever start in a Super Bowl.
That is the stat.
The greatest quarterback in USC history is what I meant to say. And the first quarterback from his draft class to start in a Super Bowl, or to play in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
The greatest quarterback from that draft class. Sam Darnold went and won this game. Sam Darnold went out and did Sam Darnold things. I do want to ask you, though, what was your confidence in Sam Darnold doing Sam Darnold things had the Rams scored?
Moderate.
Because I will tell you, I don't want to say that I saw the darkness, but it's sort of like the game kind of it, as the NFL often does. I actually told you this, I think, after week 1, which was, in college, a game can be decided in the first quarter. Right. Pete Carroll famously told us about this. In the NFL, games don't really get decided, especially in this modern NFL, with where the kickoffs start. Right. Like, games do not get decided until the fourth quarter. And all of a sudden, the game kind of came at us very quickly.
Yeah, because that drive, just time kept ticking off the clock. The Rams kept converting, you know, kept completing passes and running. And it was a similar thing happened in the second quarter, where they all of a sudden we went from, like, 8 minutes left in the quarter to 2 minutes, like 3 minutes or wherever it was, it was 2 minutes when the Seahawks got the ball back after the Rams scored. And it had happened like that. And same thing happened in the fourth quarter, where, you know, all of a sudden it felt like the Seahawks might have the final drive of the game, which I suppose effectively they did.
They basically had the final drive of the game. And I think that's why you have to come back to the plays that Devin Witherspoon made.
What I was thinking about during that stretch was something that you talked a lot about, maybe leading up to, but certainly coming out of the NFC Championship game against the 49ers, which is that, like, the most appropriate scenario was that the defense was going to be on the field with a chance to win or lose the game. And we saw a lot of the darkness when Colin Kaepernick was marching the Niners offense up the field in that one, until we had the majestic play that was the tip. And, you know, this is not nearly as iconic as the tip for a variety of reasons, most notably that it didn't actually end the game. But this is sort of the equivalent of that in terms of the Seahawks defense, this MOB replacing the LOB era, making the play that they needed to win the game down
and
the
that
stretch.
The, like, really the most important play that of the season for the Seahawks happened against Kanata Mumpfield.
Is that who's targeted?
That's
I saw that
on
he
the
had
first
two
one.
targets.
The second one, I believe, was to Terrence Ferguson.
Neither of them caught a pass in this game. Those would have been two of their three targets.
When the second one to Ferguson, like, Spoon had that defended the whole way. The Mumpfield one, I was like, oh, that's a touchdown on it. Like, and I think credit to Spoon, credit to the defense, because this game, had they scored there, like, there's a reality that, sure, there was a lot of time left. I could see a world, and we saw this both against the Buccaneers and against the 49ers, where the Seahawks don't come down and score.
Yeah.
The times that they have lost this season, and I guess, I suppose, against the Rams, although time was a bit of a crunch there against the Rams.
Yeah.
But, like, those two situations were the Seahawks had the ability to come down and score and go win this game, and both of them ended in turnovers. Sam Darnold doesn't turn the ball over anymore, as we know. But had that happened, there may not have been, we might not be having this conversation. It might have been a Reek Woolen conversation and a Sam Darnold turn it over, or they didn't pick it up or whatever.
I mean, I would not have criticized the offense, even if that had been the scenario. To me, it would have been all directed on, like, you know, people thought that the Rams have Sam Darnold's number. The Rams actually have Mike McDonald's number, would have been my takeaway in that case. But glad we don't have to have it.
In the end, none of that matters. And I think there's another takeaway that we have to have, which is, this is, like I said earlier, this is Matt Stafford's Ichiro 2009, right? Was that the year? No, 2004? 2000. This is Matt Stafford's
yes.
Ichiro 2004, right? Somehow, at as a 37-year-old, maybe 38
yes.
this week, as a, I think, right, isn't he by the Super Bowl going to be 38?
He will turn 38 the day before the Super Bowl.
As a 38-year-old quarterback, you don't get that many more years of this. And I said it last week about the 49ers, but Mike McDonald has effectively ended the run of both the 49ers under Kyle Shanahan and the Rams under Sean McVay in this playoff. And somehow, despite him only being his second season, will end the run of the Patriots under Mike Vrabel and Drake May. I think the schedule might end that run on its own, though.
Okay.
Playing a first place schedule next year, including your Seattle Seahawks in week one, I think, as boldly predicted. But
I mean, they don't necessarily do that matchup in week one.
I know. But it's going to be a key matchup.
The Seahawks did play the Broncos in the 2014 regular season, and it was not the season opener, you'll recall.
I do recall that. But
it is your favorite bold prediction. I mean, I guess what I wanted to say coming out of that is, like, when we were coping on the Discord during the second quarter after the...
There was coping?
After the Rams had taken the lead,
y'all were coping
the Seahawks
while
had
I was
gone
there.
Three and out. Oh, we were coping real hard. Anyways, the cope was, you know, this is the start of a run for the Seahawks, whereas it's probably very late in the run for the Seahawks.
If I wait,
Matthew
hold
Stafford's
on.
Age.
If I can quote the dark side here, as you know, the dark side defense, I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Oh, that's very fair. I only said that I don't think the Seahawks are going to be able to sack Stafford ever. They sacked him for 9 yards. I do not, literally do not remember this play, I gotta say. I see it in the box score.
No, you don't remember it? He
what?
Fumbled on the play, first off. It was a 3rd and 10. He fumbled it, made a field goal, 4th and 19.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just erased from my memory. It seems implausible to me that the Seahawks could ever sack him. So anyways, but my actual point was, like, look, we don't know how long this is going to last. You've got to take advantage of these opportunities. And that's why it means so much that they did this. Like, I don't, you know, maybe it is the end of the Rams run here. I'm not willing to shut that book. Maybe it's the end of the Niners run. I think that's a little more plausible, but someone else is going to rise up, and it's important that the Seahawks take advantage of the opportunity. And they have now gone to the Super Bowl for the third time in the past.
So you were doing this as, like, a from the Rams podcast perspective thing? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm just
right,
saying.
Like, I mean, I get it. If you have a 38-year-old quarterback and a coach whose offensive scheme has been figured out by everybody except for the Seahawks somehow. Runs end quickly. But what we're talking about here in Seattle, Washington, is a dynasty. And a quarterback in Sam Darnold, who's what? Exceedingly young, right?
I don't know if he's
28 years old. 28 years old
entering
for Sam
his
Darnold.
Prime.
He's entering his prime, Sam Darnold.
He's going to get a lot more expensive real soon. JSN is going to get a lot more expensive real soon.
That is fine.
Boone is going to get a lot more expensive real soon. Reek Woolen, despite today, is going to get a lot more expensive real soon. Ken Walker III.
We'll find out what team he's on. Maybe he'll be on the Panthers.
Get a lot more expensive real soon. So, like, these opportunities, these windows are fleeting. Let's take advantage. I mean, if you would have told us in, you know, I don't know, even early in the calendar 2005, that the Seahawks would go to the Super Bowl four times in the next 22 years, like, it would have been impossible to imagine. I was talking about this with my editor, who lives in the Seattle area and whose husband is a diehard Seattle sports fan, early in the week. Like, there's so much, like, trauma that is built up in Seattle sports fans from, you know, in my case, the 90s and the early 2000s. And I think about, like, your children and how they're probably just not going to have any of it, because the Seattle teams are just good now.
Are you trying to say all who gain power are afraid to lose it here? Because I do not agree with that. And for me, through strength, I gain power. Through power, I gain victory. Through victory, my chains are broken. And that is what is happening with this Seahawks team. It's so
I feel
nice.
Like you're choosing.
Savor the moment, but understand that this is going to happen forever.
I feel like you're choosing the wrong Star Wars property to quote this weekend.
There's about the dark side defense.
I understand. That, right? Yes, I get that. I'm just saying.
Right now, the Seahawks are ending dynasties at this point. Dynasties, I mean, that could have been.
Yeah,
right?
Which of these
are one Super Bowl. One fraudulent Super Bowl. It's nice. It was nice that you tried. It was good that it happened. But right now, Mike McDonald is here and the Seahawks team is here to own the NFC West for the next decade. That is what is going on right now in front of our eyes. Appreciate it now and appreciate it in the future, because this Seahawks team did not just, they might have, I don't know what the greatest margin of victory is overall for an entire playoffs, but like, I was like, man, 41-6, 42-10, whatever the Super Bowl is going to be. It's going to be large.
43-8.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mark me down for 100% win probability in the Super Bowl right now.
You know, had they lost this game,
you're not going to be able to go into the computer and find any numbers that make the Patriots good.
When I was seeing the darkness in this game, I was so prepared to blame you in totality
for
the outcome.
I told you, through strength, I gained power.
Okay.
They won this game. And there's a reality that people were like, I saw a person be like, oh, the Rams lost by 3, by 3, by 7, by 5. These bitches lost 5 games. Get out of here. They don't win games. That's the problem with the Rams. They lost 5 of them in the regular season. They're not that good.
I mean, they're extraordinarily good. They had the misfortune of playing against the Seattle Seahawks 3 times.
Oh, did they lose 5 games to the Seattle Seahawks? They only lost a third of their games to the Seahawks. They lost some of those to the Falcons and the Panthers. This team sucks because Sean McVay sucks as a coach.
Okay.
I'm telling you, Mike McDonald in year 2. Do you remember when this happened, when Sean McVay did the same thing to Pete Carroll?
Yeah.
It goes fast. It goes fast, even if you're under 40 as a head coach.
Anyways, I don't think it's actually about, like, crushing dynasties. What it is about, like, avenging the teams that have been beaten up on yes, the Seahawks in the past. And it has been the most fitting run of opponents you could possibly have in the playoffs to have the two division rivals, the 49ers and the Rams, who owned the Seahawks at the end of the Pete Carroll era. And now to have it be the Patriots, to finally get a Super Bowl against the Patriots played to its conclusion.
Yes.
Instead of canceled.
No, we can acknowledge the last one now. I was thinking about how we talked about the CJ ProSize game, right? Where it was like, that was redemption. We feel better about this. And it was like, bitch, that was a regular season game. Who cares? Right? But it felt good at the time. This is the moment.
It actually felt good at the time, more because of the particular month in which it was played than the Super Bowl, I would say. So,
but there was an element of that, right? It was like the Huskies beating Michigan. You know, it's just like, well, you beat Davis Warren. You really showed Alex Orgy.
I mean, it was all the same players on the Patriots. It just was not as important a game. I don't know that that comparison quite holds up.
But what does hold up is they've found themselves back in a Super Bowl, right? And so have the Seahawks, and a chance to go back and undo what was wronged years ago and be in this situation to beat those Patriots again. It'll feel very, very good. And I wouldn't pick any other team since that team that the Seahawks had to go into the Super Bowl with, right? I would have more confidence than this team right now, this coaching staff right now, the roster incomplete. Like, it is the team that I would pick to be going forward into the situation, because they have slayed a couple of these dragons so far, right? They have gone back in time and won these games, and they have defeated the Niners. They've defeated the Rams, and now we've got the Patriots waiting. It feels very, very good.
Can I give some shout outs to people
Absolutely.
On defense and special teams who we haven't talked about? I mean, maybe actually, you know what? Charles Cross literally never talked about the fact that we were uncertain about his status all week. Like, he just was out there and he was totally solid. So that was great. Derek Young hustling downfield to be in position to recover that muff punt by Xavier Smith. Crucial play. Shout outs to him. Tyrese Knight had the most subtly important gate play of the entire game. And I'm not even sure you know what I'm talking about.
No idea.
The second down play on that final sequence.
I thought that he made that tackle. I didn't really.
A tackle where it was that close to, if that tackle gets broken, maybe it's a touchdown.
Really? Okay.
And he's only in there because Drake Thomas, I believe it was a shoulder injury, had left the game. We talked about Iman Wari. I mean, you know, like, the pass rush was not there today, but still, you know, the interior defensive line always. Chinnan Nwosu coming up with a tip, or possibly a tip, but at the very least, like, getting his hand in the eyesight of, I forget which receiver it was, who dropped a wide open pass in that situation. I think those are my shout outs.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, the Seahawks are going to the Super Bowl. It's kind of amazing.
It feels good.
And once again, I'll be out of town for crucial Seattle sports games.
That's your thing now.
It's the ultimate reverse jinx, I would say. That's what I'm taking from it.
And also, we sort of shouted out Bobo, but like, the touchdown catch, have the season that Jake Bobo had, and then get that touchdown was freaking huge.
And not just the touchdown catch, but the immediate, like, celebratory spike afterwards, as if like Jacob Bobo was scoring touchdowns all the time.
And then George Holani coming in a situation that he probably didn't need to be in, and having that incomplete pass or that drop early, but then just like coming back and making plays after that. I thought Holani played a pretty solid game overall. And the game that Clint called, I like I said, I don't know if I've ever been like a Clint guy necessarily, but when he had his dudes ready to play today. And there were so many times where it's just like, the offense is cooking right now.
I also want to channel you and shout out Sean McVay for not challenging the spot on the Cooper Kupp third down conversion. I don't think they would have won it. It's very difficult to win a challenge of a spot, but there was literally no downside. Like, Tom Brady is breaking down on the broadcast.
I didn't get it. No, what was the situation?
You have no idea what was happening.
I know that there was a completion, but like, why Sean McVay didn't throw the flag?
Tom Brady is breaking down like, oh, okay, well, he wouldn't want a challenge because then he'd lose a timeout. They called a timeout.
He called timeout.
What happened was he called timeout immediately and then tried to be like, hey, but I can challenge too, right? And no, that's not how it works, Sean McVay. You got to challenge first, not timeout, then challenge. It's not the NBA where you get to call timeout and then go like this.
Oh, my God.
A pretty critical, again, not that
he
it probably would have made a difference.
It was probably a first down and a catch.
I mean, yeah, they almost never, it was definitely a catch. That is not even an argument. It was probably a first down and they almost never overturned those. But again, there was no downside to it from a process standpoint. A pretty huge whiff there from Sean McVay. So there you go.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got that spiky haircut. So that's cool. Staying fresh, 38-year-old quarterback.
I'm kind of feeling like this is unorthodox. So a key difference from the last time the Seattle Seahawks went to the Super Bowl and the last time they went to the Super Bowl and we were recording a podcast, which was obviously back in 2013 or 2013 season, February 2014. Back then, the NBA trade deadline took place after the Super Bowl rather than the week of the Super Bowl. And because that will likely be a busy week for me, I think we actually maybe should preview the Super Bowl this week.
Okay.
And then we can do additional thoughts week of. So.
Okay, that's fine.
That's my thinking.
Okay.
Well, I'm very excited to dig in. I watched the Patriots-Broncos game, but I have not like closely studied the Patriots. It's interesting because there wasn't like that much prep work for the Rams and 49ers. It's like, I know these teams. We've seen these teams. The Patriots are like a totally new challenge. So that's going to be interesting.
You're going to dig in on Drake May and his 86 yards today?
Okay. It was really snowy. I don't know if you saw.
I mean, the second half, it wasn't snowy early, was it?
It was not, no. And he definitely had been out past, I think, about 3-1 in the first half. At least 2-1.
By Jared Stidham.
Yes. So. But it should be fun. The Seahawks is back in the Super Bowl. Amazing. On that note.
Matthew Stafford, retire, bitch!
The most plausible of these ones actually coming true. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.